This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome. I am so glad all you guys and gals decided to tune in to Thoughts Become Things, and it's weekly. Isn't that great? We can sit down together, maybe get some coffee and tea, and sit down and just learn from one another and learn about what God is doing in this great universe and realizing how we're energy and light and how God has created the universe to be energy and light. And, you know, knowing that everything is not just energetic, but everything is alive. Isn't that awesome? I mean, to know that God breathed the breath of life not just into man, but when he created the universe, he said, let there be. And knowing that there's a reverberating sound upon the universe and creation that continuously just reverberates that let there be sound is awesome. Knowing that everything, even the universe, science has proven the universe is alive. Folks, this is awesome. This is a divine breakthrough, is it not? When we begin to understand that there's nothing new under the sun, that God has always knew about it. God has told us about it from years ago in this ancient book we call the Bible, to understand exactly that everything truly is as it should be. And everything is alive with the breath of God breathing into it constantly. It's a constant flow. Did you think about that? There's a constant flow of God's breath being breathed into everything. And there's that reverberating sound that constantly vibrates everything that there is around us to let it continue to be in order for it to become what God intended for it to be. I'm excited. You know, today I want to sort of go back in time if I could. I remember writing a couple of books. Of course, I've written 27 books, but a couple of books years ago on, I focused on the now moment. And my book was called The Power of the Eternal Now. I'd really encourage each one of you to go to the website and get that book, The Power of the Eternal Now. It's a life changer, let me tell you. Because one of the things I want to sort of talk about today is actually from that book. It's something that God has been burning in me the past couple of weeks, because in these past few months, I've been doing some life coaching sessions with so many clients, and I tell you, I've realized that what most people are stuck in is the delusion of time. And I want you to think about that for a moment. The delusion of time. Because really, time is a big delusion. You know, we get focused on so many things in life, and everything around us deals with the time factor. Does it not? I mean, like, I'm going to get a better job one day. You know, this job, man, it doesn't pay enough. I can't wait to get a better job. Or, you know, one day when I get married. Or, you know, one day when I have kids. Or, you know, if I can just finish my college, you know, and get that degree, I can be able to do this and that. You know, we focus so much on the future. I mean, folks, let me tell you something. If many of you have done life coaching sessions with me, you'll know, because I've talked to many of you and I've shared with you that these things about, you know, one day, you know, someday, folks, these terminologies are dangerous to you. Think about it. These are dangerous terminologies to you. And you might say, are they really dangerous to say one day and someday? Absolutely they are. You know, there's nothing better in life than this now moment. Nothing better. Nothing at all better than this now moment. I mean, we can read that in scripture where it says, now faith is. I remember I was raised in the Word of Faith movement. If many of you know what that is, I think some of the younger people probably are like, well, I've never heard of that. You know, back in the day, we had what we call certain movements that had more or less names to them. You know, we had Word of Faith movement, the Kingdom movement, the Word movement. You know, we had a lot of different movements at the time, and a lot of them were so powerful. And of course, like anything and everything else in life, you know, there needs to be a pendulum swing of a balance in so many different things in life. In fact, everything really goes to a pendulum swing, if you think about it, where it needs to balance itself out, because a lot of times it goes to the extreme left and the extreme right. But it takes time. You know, time actually will begin to mature some things in our lives, will it not? But one of the things that I have realized is, back in the days of the Word of Faith movement, we learned a lot about faith. I mean, everything was revolving and built upon faith. And one of the scriptures that I really have been drawn to all my life is, now faith is. and talks about, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And sort of, you know, breaking down and sort of dissecting that word faith and understanding what it really is and how we can, you know, move by everything in the universe of and creation about how to exercise our faith. And how the more faith we have, the grain of a mustard seed, we can speak into this mountain, you know, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. You know, not doubting in your heart, but believing that God, all things are possible for God. And, you know, and then you realize, you know, how the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. And all these scriptures are so true and valid for us today. But I learned a lot in the faith movement, and it actually helped push me where I am today. But one of the things I've realized, even during those times of hearing these messages on faith, it taught us a lot of things, how basically living in the now moment was where life really is. I mean, if you think about it, life really doesn't consist of your past, nor does it really consist of your future. Because, you know, one of the things I teach people in my book is understanding that time actually can be an enemy. It can rob you. It can steal from you the very essence of your life. You might say, well, how is that possible? Because, you know, I like to take this sort of example. You know, if you took Jesus and put him on the cross and you look at the thieves on the left and the thief on the right, you begin to understand how these thieves represent actually the past and the other one represents the future. And here's Christ right in the middle in the now moment. Because it's symbolic to let us understand and know that when you dwell in the past, and we, you know, we're notorious, folks, we're, you know, we get a little bit more, we're notorious for understanding, let go of the past, you know, press on and move on, and we read these scriptures about pressing towards the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus, and that is so true and so valid, but the future, folks, is just as dangerous as the past. The reason why is because you have to understand that most people, and we've all been there, done this, most people project everything that they ever want to be or maybe thinking they could be or they should be, you know, into the future. And yet we validate, you know, these delusions by basically putting a tag to it. Like, once I get my degree, there's our tag. When I put my get my degree, then in the future, you know, there's your delusion. In the future, this will begin to happen for me. As if that a piece of paper is going to automatically guarantee you to have a life of success. Or if I can just get that wife, if I can just get that husband, if I can just do this and that, as if my life will become perfect. Everything will be as it should be. But the truth of the matter, folks, is that that's not true. And, you know, whether you call it the mind, you know, a paradigm, the devil, whatever you want to call your enemy, if you think about it, your enemy, no matter what it is letting you know that it's going to hold you in the past. Because that's what the enemy does. Traditions. Think about this. The Bible says traditions that make the word of God of none effect. How can something be so powerful, yet deadly, yet poisonous, that can actually water down or basically make the Word of God powerless and make it of none effect? How can that be? Very easy. Because traditions come from a background experience. It's how it's always been. It's how my grandmother did it. It's how my Baptist church did it when I was growing up. It's how my Pentecostal church has always done it. And so we love to go back and sing the old hymns. And there's nothing wrong with singing old songs. I mean, if that was the case, if singing old songs were deadly and dangerous, then, you know, we would have to say, oh, for the love of God, please, somebody give me a new song today because I can't sing the song from yesterday. I mean, there's a point, you know, to everything, folks. And there's a place you can get in bondage to everything. But the truth is, you've got to realize that everything of tradition deals with past experience of your forefathers or past experience of you, of what you thought once worked for you or how it once felt for you. Oh, it made me feel so good. And that's great that it made you feel so good. And it's nothing wrong with sitting here having a reflection or reflective moment of a memory that can maybe bring back a little bit of feeling of joy. There's nothing wrong in that. But when you put your faith in the attitude that my joy will come from a reflective moment of the past, then guess what, folks? Then you've missed the truth. You've missed what it is that God wants you to focus on And believe it or not, folks, just like pornography, you can get addicted to that. People get addicted every single day to habits. And one of the most dangerous habits to get a hold of is that of the past. You know, I can sit here and tell you the number of people in my life who have passed away. People who've died, you know, including my father, who died, well, I think we're almost going on 3.5, almost 4 years now. And I miss him more than life itself. He was my hero, my friend. I loved my father more than anything in life. He was a pastor, but he was a true dad. He was down to earth. He wasn't religious about anything. He was down to earth, but a true man of God. And yet, as much as I miss him, and thank God I have memories of him, and all the people that I've known, from friends to people I went to church with who have passed on, you know, it gets a little scary at times, folks. I mean, let's face it. No matter how old or young you are, it gets a little scary when you start seeing people around you die. Is it not true? I know I can get some amens from many of you out there, because you have to fight through it. As you get older, you have to fight through the fact of, oh my goodness, everything is going, you know, as they say, in the world, to hell in a handbasket. You've ever heard that phrase before? You know, oh my goodness, everybody's dying around me. What's going on? And yet you look at that and you realize that what's happening here is you're allowing the delusion of the past to affect your now moment. Because when we look around and say everyone has passed on, or I have no foundation because my foundation is dead, or I put the faith and trust in what used to be a great memory and I live in that past experience, folks, that's not reality. Then you get caught up in a place where you will lose more of the essence of joy, because joy is a now thing. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's living water. Living water doesn't come from past experiences. Hello. Living water doesn't come from a futuristic mentality that one day it's going to happen for me. Faith doesn't live in the past, nor does faith live in the future. Happiness does not truly come, folks, from something that happened to you 15 years ago. You can reside in the memories all you want to, but the more you reside in them, the more it's going to be like pornography. It's going to draw you in, and you're going to become addicted to what used to be. And I've said it before in my books and my teachings, that is, God's name is the great I am, not the I was, or I used to be, or I shall become. God can never become anything. If you can become something, you're not truly God. God is God. God is a present now present tense reality, which means, he says, I'm your ever present help in time of trouble, which means I live in the now moment. I don't dwell in your past experience. I don't dwell in a past feeling that you had with me when you was in that worship conference, you know, 18 years ago. No. I was in that during the now moment of that time, but I no longer reside in that. Are you with me? It's the same scenario of understanding that when you live in the past and you live in a God moment of the past, you're not living in God. Now think about that for a moment. When you're living in a past experience that was a God moment for you, when you reflect back on it, you truly are taking God out of it, but yet you think you're living God in. Let me put it to you an easier way for you. When you reflect back on a God moment of, let's say, 8 years ago, God removes himself from that past moment of your reflection or your memory. Now, let that absorb in you for a moment. Why would God remove himself from a past memory that you are reflecting back on? Because he can't live there. Are you with me? Now, you might say, but I thought God was omniscient. God was omnipresent. God is in all places at all times. Absolutely, he is. But you have to remember that God's kingdom is a kingdom that is eternal. Eternity doesn't focus on a future, nor does it focus on a past, or even, for lack of better words, the now moment. It is always the eternal now moment. So therefore, the kingdom heaven does not have a past. Put it another way that will make it easier for you guys. It's going to be hard, and this is going to be hard to wrap your brain around, all right? But Adam did not go to heaven thousands of years ago. Neither did Moses, neither did Noah, and neither are you, and neither are your children in 30, 40, 50, 70 years from now. When you arrive, everyone arrives. Now, that's going to be hard for you to wrap your brain around. I know many of you right now are saying, oh, no, I don't agree with that. But see, you have to remember that God does things that are higher than our thinking. And if God does things above our thinking, you have to remember your thinking is in a time frame called Earth. And because of that, everything we see, and the Earth revolves around, you know, around the sun, everything we see in this vast universe deals with time. We only know time. That's all we know. We don't know what it means to be in a place where time shall be no more. So you have to remember that that's why the Bible verifies and validates that time shall be no more, because that's all we've ever known. I've never known what it's like to be in a place where there's no such thing as time, where things don't grow anymore, things don't die anymore, where things don't get younger and things don't get older, and I'm not concerned with it because I've never known anything that's not without time. And because of that, you have to remember that when you arrive, everything and everyone arrives, but yet they also arrived thousands of years ago, and they will still arrive 5,000 years from now. Now, even though you're thinking, you're blowing my mind, Jeremy, I can't wrap my brain around it, I don't know what that means, that's the key thing. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's something we can't really comprehend. It's something we can't wrap our brain around, but that's just how it is. And the reason why I'm bringing this out to you is not to confuse you, but to let you understand how great our God is and how magnificent the kingdom of heaven is. And when you understand that concept, then you understand why to God, it's very important that you cease from the delusions of time and you learn to live in the timelessness point of the now moment. Because the now moment right now is where God resides. Was God in that conference you did maybe 18 years ago? Sure he was. He was right there ministering, loving, caring, doing miracles. But he's also doing that in this now moment only if you receive the now moment and move in a place of awareness and you allow yourself to be disciplined enough to take a deep breath and say, right now is as it should be, and right now is all that I truly need to know. Because when I live in a memory of the past, of my dad, of friends or whatever, sure I'm going to miss them, and sure I want to keep those memories. Memories are treasure to us that God's given us, but we have to put them in their proper place. We have to align the memories of where the memories need to be, and that is a reflection of every once in a while having that memory come through our mind, getting that feeling of, wow, man, I really miss when you did this, and then moving on from it. Because if you don't, if you allow yourself to dwell in it, then it will literally steal your joy. It'll steal everything. It'll steal your now moment. And what happens is when you come out of that memory of the past, the moment you come back into the now moment, you're going to have to gain more ground. Think about that. Because of the fact you've put your energy, your emotion, your thoughts, you've put your mind, your thinking, your consciousness into a past reality. And here's what's interesting about science, I really think is so phenomenal, is science lets us know that when they do studies in the brain, that when you think something in your brain does not know if it is actually carrying itself out in the natural reality of your world in that moment, or if it's literally a thought. It doesn't know the difference. And so that's why people that, and once again, when we're dealing with sin and we're dealing with things that are wrong and harmful for our bodies and our minds and our soul and our life, period, that's why I like to use the example of lust or pornography, because of the fact that when you get caught up in that, it alters your real world, and your real world doesn't know how to cope with it because it's lived in a fantasy for so long. And your mind doesn't know, is this the reality or is this what you've been thinking when you were in lust? Are you with me? That's why Jesus made it very, very, he stated it when he said, look, if you've done in your heart, you've pretty much done it. If you've committed adultery in your heart, you have already sinned. It doesn't take an outward expression of carrying it out in your reality because of the fact it's already done inside your heart. because he even knew that the mind, the soul, doesn't understand the difference between, am I just thinking this, or is it going on in the natural reality of this person's life? It doesn't know the difference. And that's why God has programmed us and made us to be the people we are, because he wants us to understand that you have to think very wise. You have to think very much with wisdom. And when you think, you have to understand that when you do use your mind, you need to use it in a healthy way, in a way of wisdom, in a way that is disciplined to live in the now moment. So that way your mind automatically gets into a, for lack of better words, a habit or a pattern of knowing that everything that I'm thinking, I'm living out, and I'm living it out in the now moment. That way, guess what? You won't find yourself fragmented by feeling and or feeling as if, am I living in the past memory, because that's where my joy was? Because if I move myself in the now moment, then there's no joy here. Why? Because I've created my own world of the past, and my mind is trying to live in that, and that's why it's hard for me to progress and move on and live in the now moment and have hope for for a bright future, because I'm delusioned. And what will happen, folks, it will make you diseased. I'm telling you, talking about soulishly, it will make you diseased, diseased. It'll bring you a spiritual disease, because you no longer can cope with the reality of your life. That's why we see people with suicide all the time. Suicide happens when people are depressed. Why do people get depressed? Depression comes upon you when you convince yourself that there's nothing in 5 minutes from now that's going to make me happy. Therefore, I do not want to live in a vision of having hope and a bright future, that nothing excites me and nothing at all does. And so without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, people die. And so that's why it's so important that we learn to discipline ourselves, know how to prioritize our past memories of good, bad, or ugly, and learn how to bring a reflection upon them, but yet maintain our joy, because the life in the now moment is what brings me joy. Are you with me? Life in the now moment is what brings me joy. You might say, well, Jeremy, it might be good for you, but not for me. Right now, I'm just going through a lot of hell in my life. I mean, I've got everything going wrong right now. Well, don't you think for a moment that the enemy would love nothing more than to bring your mind into some past experience that brought you joy at that point in time in your life? But yet if you went back, now check this out, folks. But if you truly went back to that moment, I bet you still had a lot of hell in your life. Think about that for a moment. You know, we always say we are notorious creatures of habit, of really bringing forth that place of saying, man, music was so much better in the 80s. I'm an 80s man. I love me some 80s music. You know, or my grandfather, who said, you know, when he was alive and doing good, he would say, man, back in the day, I wish that I was how it used to be back in the days. And I'm thinking to myself, back in your days that you thought was joyful was the 20s and 30s. Didn't people commit suicide because we went through a major depression in the country, and yet an economic crisis hit so hard? Is that what you call the good days? And folks, no offense against the president, but it's the same way when President Trump says, you know, let's make America great again. Quit focusing on the past, because truly, folks, America has never been great. I mean, we've went through depression. We've went through, you know, economic crisis. I mean, folks, let me tell you something. Because your mind convinces you, your mind convinces you. I can promise you that each one of you right now listening to the sound of my voice can come back with in a conversation with me and say, 10 years ago was awesome. Man, my life was great 5 years ago. My life was amazing 20 years ago. I can promise you that if I took you back to that time slot that you thought was great, I can guarantee you, you would still feel as if you did right now and still pull up something maybe that was about around you. Maybe a bad job, maybe a bad neighborhood, maybe you're going through some things, but yet you pulled from that thing or that memory a really great feeling at that moment. And that feeling projected into your mind to where you were able to look back and say, man, I felt wonderful during that time period of my life. But yet if you went back to that time period, I guarantee you would find where life was not any different than it is right now. Are you with me? And that's why it's easy for any president, any government official, any actor, actress, that's why it's great for anybody, because they know that the bottom line, that humanity is notorious for living in the past, so they use it as a great scheme to say, let's make America great again. Life used to be great. And I want somebody to say, don't lie to the people, that's not true. Life is what we make it to be right now. America has always been great and it always will be great. America has always been bad and always will be bad. Now you might say, oh, don't say that, Jeremy. What I'm saying is life deals you a handful, does it not? It deals you a handful of joy and it deals you a handful of pain. And that's why the Bible says that in this life there will be trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've already overcome them. Because every generation has always had pain, depression, economic struggles, and yet they've also had joy and happiness and birth and life. And so you have to remember that, don't listen to anyone or your own mind say, oh, I wish it would go back to the way it used to be, because that is nothing more than a pure lie from hell. The truth is, you are a person of the now moment. You've been created and summoned to live in the now moment, where faith truly can only reside. And where God really resides in our time slot is in the now moment, our ever-present help, our I am-ness to us right now. And when you realize that, then you learn not to get in a Calgon commercial. Now, I don't know how old many of you guys and gals are out there, but back in the, I think it was the early 80s, we had Calgon. Calgon was a bubble commercial where it shows the lady, she was washing clothes, you know, the olden mentality of women, you know, of you got to stay home and wash clothes and do this. You weren't allowed to get educated, or you weren't allowed to do anything. Being a career woman was just unheard of, you know. And so back then they would use that persona, that stereotype of the lady staying at home, washing clothes, washing the floors. And that's great if you still do that. That's wonderful. But it was just a commercial from back in the days of the mentality of how people used to think. And so it showed her doing all this, and she was sweating, you know, at the brow. And all of a sudden it showed her in the tub with bubbles all around her. And she said, Calgon, take me away. And that's what that was. Because it was an escapism mentality to get into a tub probably with candles all around it, with bubbles all around it, because it was a symbol of relaxation. It was a symbol of getting away from all the junk and all the everyday duties I had to deal with. And so guess what? That's what many of us spiritually do all the time. Calgon, take me away. Take me away to a memory when it was great. But the truth is, folks, that's dangerous to do that. You need to face reality. I tell you all the time, face reality. Don't be like Adam and blame Eve. You know, it was this woman you gave me. She's the one that made me take this apple. Or she's the one that made me take this fruit, you know. Don't do that. Don't blame anything or anyone. Take a responsibility for yourself. Learn to live in the now moment and say, you know what it is, and right now I'm going through some hard times, but you know what, as I continue to create my reality, I'm going to create it with brand new creative thoughts of how the outcome is going to start looking, and I'm going to begin to project my energy and my action and the word towards this area of my life, and as I do, you know what? God's going to go before me and make a way where there seems to be no way. And you know what? It's going to start progressively getting better. But in the now moment, I'm going to take the joy with the hard time. And the hard time I'm dealing with, I'm going to apply joy to it and own up to this now moment, walk in awareness, and enjoy the journey. And as we do that, folks, guess what? Things begin to happen, because your mind begins to stay healthy by applying itself, applying the consciousness, applying the mind to every moment, and pulling the journey out of every moment and the fullness of all the experience that every single second brings to you in your life. And trust me, folks, I say this to you, it's healthy. If you talk to any psychiatrist, psychologist, any doctor, anyone out there, they'll tell you that they deal with patients who get stuck in past experiences, and it jars and it literally causes everything in your body, even your body and your soul, to get stuck in a frame of delusion, and you will eventually die. It's true. You have to stay healthy, folks. Live in this now moment. There is only one chance in life that you have in this split second I'm talking to you to live. And living doesn't mean, well, my heart's beating and I'm taking a breath. What's wrong with, you know, isn't that living? No. Living to me has nothing to do, in my opinion, with your heart beating, Because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that think they're living and their heart's beating, but they're not living at all. They've mentally checked out of the now moment. They've mentally checked out of what they're doing, and they're doing it on autopilot, and they've literally left everything that this now moment brings. Don't let that happen to you, folks. Enjoy the journey. Everything is a learning curve. Everything is an experience you can take from, and you can speak creative life into that now moment and watch it slowly begin to be altered and change. If you check out the now moment, you can truly never change 5 minutes from now, or even an hour from now, or 30 days from now. You can't if you check out. Don't check out this now moment. That's where God is. And God is beckoning you to say, hey, come on, get with the program. Start living again. Open your eyes and see this amazing life in this millisecond that you're living. That's what God wants from us. That's all He's ever wanted from us, is I died to give you life and life more abundantly. He didn't die to give you memories and memories more abundantly. He didn't die for you to one day, someday mentality. No, He died to give you this now moment. Honor God by honoring the now moment. All right? So thank you so much, guys and gals, for tuning into this broadcast of Thoughts Become Things. I just bless all of you guys. I love every one of you dearly. I really do. You guys are the backbone of this ministry, and we so appreciate every one of you. Don't forget to tune into our Facebook Live with Jeremy Lopez, of course, myself, on Mondays, usually between 10 and 10:30 Central Time AM. If you don't know, go to Facebook.com, and when you do, look up Identity Network, and when you do, like the page, folks. That way you can tune in, and you can, I can see in that now moment, all right, and talk to you. By the way, real quick, do not forget that right now we have a special going on our School of the Prophets course. It's a great special on School of the Prophets course. I can teach you, train you in leadership. I can teach you and train you into know what genre of the prophetic the gifting that you are anointed for. I can educate you, mentor you within your sphere of influence, how to apply that prophetic gifting. Folks, this course is amazing. So go to identitynetwork.net, and when you do, look up School of the Prophets and order it today. God bless you. Thank you so much, guys and gals, for tuning in to Thoughts Become Things. Have an amazing now moment.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.